many people would probably think that by now, since we came back at the tail end of last summer, we'd have probably got a new theme tune, and we haven't. So, that's it. This is Bake for Frogger. This is episode -3 by now? I don't know. Anyway, this is probably where we would have put the theme song if we actually had one, but we don't have one. So instead, we'll just carry on talking. With me tonight are my broadcast colleague, one, Geordie Allen.
Hello.
And across the internet pipe, we have Mr. Ewan Taylor.
Good evening.
Evening. And my name's Cameron Phillips, obviously. I forgot to say that bit, really. I always forget to introduce myself. Right, so we're back here for -3. It's been a while since we've done this.
Yeah, we've all been leading great lives. We've all been out travelling the world, seeing the sights. Depends what you class as sights, I suppose.
Yeah, we've not been doing a lot.
The dockyards of Glasgow.
Because we have seen each other in the meantime, haven't we?
Yes, we have. We met up very recently at the TNA tapings in Glasgow.
At the TNA tapings in Glasgow. And what
I was not there.
Oh, yeah. For the purposes of girlfriend...
Alan was not there. Alan was somewhere else.
I was looking at a crane.
Mr. Milburn was not present at the Glasgow Hydro on the night of January the 30th, 2014.
No.
He was most certainly not present at the TNA taping.
He was
most certainly not there in the hotel bar... at 1 o'clock in the morning, drinking lager with us.
Yes.
In any way.
Whatsoever.
Shape, size, or form. The only people that were there were me, Ewan, and Lisa.
Yes.
Who shall forever be known in Al's mind, though he wasn't there, as not Ewan's girlfriend. There we go.
That's a disclaimer there, with.
That's the disclaimer there. So, yeah, yes. That's fine. So, you weren't there, Al. So, yeah, me and Ewan met up.
Yes.
At the Hydro for
grand.
The TNA tapings.
It's a lovely arena.
It was brilliant. It's really, really nice. Apart from the slight E. coli outbreak that was reported in a couple of days after we were there.
Yep.
Which, thankfully, did not cover the dates we were there.
Yeah, Strictly Come Dancing turned into Strictly Come Vomiting.
Apparently so. Hey!
There you go.
It's all going to be good.
It's all going to be good. Come for the podcast, stay for the comedy.
Yeah, very much. We're here all week. Not really.
And also,
we're going to be back probably in
a couple
months. And
also, there's some
of
the news as well. Cameron was so hurtful and offensive in his review of the hotel that they actually wrote back to him with an apology.
Yeah, they did. They emailed me an apology. Did I tell you this, Al?
What was wrong with the hotel room?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything about the hotel room, but I got one of these customer surveys. We stayed at the Hilton. Sorry, I stayed at the Hilton. Al did not. Yes. Al wasn't there.
I was sleeping rough.
You were sleeping rough. You weren't there.
You weren't there.
And you know how when Lisa went to the bar... she had a really long wait because there was no one there.
Really long wait of like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but we had to go looking for people.
All right.
I think you'd gone for a slash at this point, had you not?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but I wrote the customer satisfaction thing that they emailed me afterwards. When it said comments, I just put that at one point my colleague went to the bar. There was no one behind the bar. We had to wait a little while and we had to go looking for someone. But once someone came, she was really apologetic and we got our drinks anyway and it was fine. It was the only minor blip on an otherwise enjoyable evening and morning. She's now been fully hauled over calls. And the hotel actually emailed me back like a day later and said that this was not part of their usual high standards of service. They were glad that the bartender in question apologised upon their return and they would like to make an apology to me for the inconvenience this may have caused.
Are we getting any free drinks from it?
No.
Oh.
We're not getting any free stays and free drinks. But no, they were properly like really kind of like grovellingly apologetic for something that I had said at the time was really bloody minor and was literally nitpicking.
Next year, if we end up staying there, they're not going to be apologetic because I'm going to be a drunken, rampaging idiot.
Well, is that a year's worth of warning we've got there?
Well, it will be my 30th of the day of the tapings.
So it will. It'll be the 29th, won't it?
Mm. Yes.
So it'll be Ewan's 30th birthday party in Glasgow. Nice. Very nice.
At a pro wrestling show. Hurrah.
Oh, yes. A pro wrestling show, which will be full of kids who are expecting people from the WWE to turn up.
When's Daniel Bryan turning up? Never mind, son. Just look at the...
We had a kid behind us that asked that very question 6 times.
He went Sin Cara as well,
didn't he? Yeah. But hey, you know, he's been the actual Sin Cara has been released, so he might hit lucky by this time next year in TNA. It'll be called, you know, because they own the rights to Sin Cara, don't they? So it'll be something like Bin Barra or something like that.
Or he could be Willow's new tag team partner, Oak.
Exactly. That'll be awesome. Anyway.
Video games.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
For the four people that are still listening.
For the four people that are still listening, yes. We ask the usual question of what you've been playing. And tonight there might be a fair bit to get through in the end, because we haven't done this for a couple of months, so we might have to end up being concise. Hopefully this will work. Al, you never get to go first.
And that's why.
That's why. It's because you have to think about what you're going to say whilst me and Ewan are talking.
That's pretty much the crack, yeah.
Okay, Ewan!
That failed on so many different levels.
I know. Carry on, Ewan. Please save us.
I'll try my best. Very quickly, I'm going to mention a kind of part two of an ongoing series, The Wolf Among Us by Telltale Games. Basically, if you're not playing this game, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're missing out on probably Telltale's best story, in my opinion.
My opinion, I'm
enjoying this so far. I really am enjoying it.
I am enjoying it as well.
But not quite as much, I'm guessing.
No, I like it. I like it for something a little bit...
Different.
I think we've spoken before when episode one came out on this podcast that it's good in the fact that because we were so used to The Walking Dead,
yep.
when Lee was just an ordinary guy chucked into an extraordinary situation,
yep.
and wasn't really sort of combat ready.
No, it was sort
it's
of
nice.
Ragtag
it's,
kind of ready.
Yeah, he's just an ordinary guy. It's nice that Bigby Wolf is most definitely combat ready and will happily brawl with the best of them
Indeed.
If the chance presents itself.
Indeed. Now, so, I haven't played The Walking Dead Season 2 yet because I don't know why I've not actually managed to get to do this yet. I'm not quite sure what's gone wrong for me to avoid that. But Episode 2 of Smoke and Mirrors came out a couple of weeks ago now.
All right.
Did it? I don't remember. No, it came out...
I think it did.
Yeah, it did. Sorry. My handy-dandy thing says February 5th, so it's been out for a couple of weeks now. And it follows on from Episode 1, where we were left in not the best situation in the world. And
nope.
Episode 2 ends with quite an extraordinary revelation that I'm not going to spoil, but if you've been paying attention throughout the two episodes, when this is revealed to the player, it's quite the event.
Yeah, it is a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bit.
That is after you do meet one of my favourite characters, Geordi.
Geordi?
Yes.
Geordi?
No, Georgie, sorry, Georgie, my apologies.
Oh,
yes. Has it? Georgie Porgy?
Yes, sorry. I got Alex saved.
Georgie Porgy, pudding and pie, kissed the girls and made them cry.
Well, he certainly makes them cry. He doesn't kiss them, though.
He certainly makes them cry.
That was Jimmy Savile, no.
Fables is all about, like, nursery rhyme characters and characters from Fables. They've been banished from this kind of fantasy realm. And they're trying to lead a normal life in New York.
Isn't that the plot of Shrek, almost?
You're on the right lines, actually.
Nice.
But it's a little bit grittier than that. They have to get...
Shrek on VHS.
Yes, Shrek in a 1980s dirty VHS. They have to buy a piece of magic called Glamour in order to appear human. But you've got all the characters. Like I say, Bigby Wolf, who you control, is actually the big bad wolf. And he's like the sheriff and tries to keep them all in line.
Yep.
But there is a... Georgie Porgy runs a strip club called The Pudding and Pie. And basically basically abuses all the women there.
I want a strip club called The Pudding and Pie.
Well, Al, you've saved all your money. Your dreams can become true.
Right then.
So it's all good, really.
Yes, it is all good. It's very good. It's the normal price of a season pass, £16. Just do it. Just trust me, you will enjoy this.
It is very, very good.
It is very good. So I will move on from that to a new piece of not quite next-gen console, but, you know, close enough.
Current-gen handheld,
yeah,
I think.
Current-gen handheld, but it's new for me. I bought a Vita.
Hey.
I did. I've moved into this generation of handheld gaming. And I've got one of the nice shiny OLEDs, not this new PS Vita Slim that's been released.
I've noticed that when they put the Slim out, that it's just an LED screen.
Yes, they've lowered the quality of the screen.
Yeah, and that's what I don't want.
I know, so
I'm going to get one. I want an OLED. I want a good one.
Yeah, it also made it smaller, changed a couple of things with it. Not much smaller, but a wee bit kind of smaller, I believe. It's also lighter as well. But the OLED screen is lovely. It is very, very nice.
Yeah. I've had a go of a Vita, and it is a gorgeous little thing.
It is. So I also got some games for the Vita as well, and
that's handy.
Yes, it is. My wonderful girlfriend came through, and I got a couple of games. One of which is the next game from the makers of Little Big Planet in the form of Tearaway.
Yes.
Now this game has been getting a lot of attention, mainly because Media Molecule made it. And
it is
very, very, very good.
Yeah.
Basically, you live in a little world that's made entirely of paper. And the biggest aim of the game is you play a messenger, and you've got to deliver a unique message to you, the player, which is you're referred to in the game as the yous, or yous. Now, the aim of the messenger is to get to the sun. This is where the Vita's unique features come into play. The Vita has dual cameras, one on the back, one on the front. The sun is whatever the front camera can see at that time. So, here enters the unintentional hilarity. I was playing the game one day, and one of the characters in the game refers to the yous. It looks up to the sky, and instead of my face, it is my cat. I had evolved into a cat because the cat happened to be in line with the camera at the time.
Okay.
So they were speaking how the you was going to deliver a great message and help them out. I'm not quite sure how my cat was going to help them out in any way whatsoever, but they seem to have great faith in her. And I found that great. But as you go through the story, it's a kind of platformer slash puzzle, but it uses all the bits of the Vita. It uses the back touch screen. There's some puzzles where you have to almost poke your fingers into the world to move things about, move bits of paper about, kill enemies, use the front touch screen to kind of open up folded bits of paper, make bridges, move things out of the way. The accelerometers are used to kind of move things from side to side. And it's just a very good example of what you can do with the technology that's inside a PS Vita. And it's presented in Media Molecule's typical, very friendly, very happy way. It one of the main characters, I swear, is the guy from the O2 adverts with the deep voice.
Really?
I think it's him. I would have to check, but it's got that very same familiar voice to me.
Okay.
Which I thought was quite funny.
Alright, fair enough.
And he's got quite a kind of Yorkshire accent rocking as well, which is kind of weird.
A little bit, yeah, because Yorkshire's always weird.
Yes, and at certain parts of the story, you have to create things using the touchscreen. So you're taken to this kind of art desk, you get from various bits of paper and other tools, and you can kind of draw your own things. So at one point, you encounter a squirrel. This squirrel happens to be the king of the particular area you're in, but there's a problem. He doesn't have a crown. He asks you to draw the crown.
Right.
So me being me, I didn't draw a crown.
I was drawing him a big golden penis.
No, I drew a pair of tits.
Oh, I was close.
Squirrel liked this crown.
What was that?
Because he liked this crown.
He thought this was the best crown he'd ever seen and went to show his friends immediately.
Well then, I think he'll be abdicating very shortly.
And what was hilarious is, you find the squirrel later on in the game and he's still wearing this crown of boobs.
Oh no.
Well, there'll be a lot of penis crowns out there, I'm guessing.
I imagine... This is a game that some people are just going to abuse and just draw giant phallic symbols all through this wonderful little land.
Nice furry squirrel, and he's got a big cock on his head, eh?
Oh dear. But, oh dear.
For the children, it's a nice little creative game. For the more adult in us, it's just an excuse to draw phallic objects in a video game.
Terrible. Shocking state of affairs.
But
I don't condone that.
Yeah, but it's difficult to describe without spoiling many things of it, but it's a very, very, very happy, very colourful, very kind of into a game. And it's surprising how into the game you get, and you don't realise the time you're spending playing it, because you're just into the world, into what's going on, and you're always pushing forward to try to find that next little thing to do, or discover.
That's quite nifty for a handheld game, then. That's quite nifty for a handheld, because a lot of handheld games are usually just, you know, designed for sort of a 10-minute
It's good, it's nice and different. But it's also on a special on the PSN network. You can get it for $12.99 at the moment.
That's quite a good deal.
So it's usually retails for $12.99. You know, pick it up. It's good fun.
I'm just asking how big the memory card is on your Vita. Because that's the only thing, when all the Vita owners that I've heard of have said that they struggle for space on their memory cards, and memory cards are really expensive.
Right. They're not too bad. Admittedly,
not
I
too
bought
bad.
My Vita with a memory card in the pack.
Oh, right, okay.
Because the pack I got was the 8GB sports and something pack, so I really bought it just for the memory card.
Fair enough.
But you can get like a 16 gig online for like £25, which is not bad.
That's okay.
Considering these used to be like 50, I think.
There were some ridiculous price when the Vita first came out, I remember that.
Yeah.
And it's the usual Sony thing of they can't do third-party stuff, can they?
No. No,
it's like an official Sony Pro.
It's their own.
I remember all them knockoffs of the PS1 memory card.
Oh yeah, I think that's what Sony have tried to avoid.
I have one of those right now.
Yeah, I remember buying like for my PS1 a second controller with a memory card, and it was the worst controller I've ever used in my bloody life.
Yeah,
or something.
It was something ridiculous like that. It was like a raised D-pad and all that kind of shit. Yeah. It was awful.
No.
Did anyone get the SmackDown memory card?
No.
Get it free with SmackDown 2?
No.
I've got my SmackDown memory card.
I bought SmackDown 2, I must have got it.
Pre-release or... No, like they didn't do pre-releases back then, just like day of release or time of release.
No, I went day of release to get SmackDown 2. I must have had one there.
Either one or two, I think it was two, but I've got mine in the house somewhere.
You forget with the SmackDown games that one came out in April and then two came out in November, don't you? Never mind, anyway, buy that. the year 2000, what a happy time.
Yeah, it was a happy time, you know?
Yep. Anyway, sorry.
I was moving on to a game that is slowly taking over the lives of anyone with a Vita right now, and the mild interest in skateboarding games, in the form of Ollie Ollie.
Is this not like Tony Hawk's, but good?
It's like Tony Hawk's crossed with Hotline Miami, crossed with Skate. Now, I look...
Wait a minute. As soon as you said Tony Hawk's plus Hotline Miami, that has just given me a mental image, and it's brilliant. When you go around, like, skating around a city, and when you reach people who you're supposed to kill, you just take, like, your skateboard from under your feet and batter them to death with the trucks.
That's probably going to be in Hotline Miami 2.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be brilliant.
Oh, my God. You can imagine one of the power-ups in Hotline Miami 2 is going to be, like, a skateboard.
Yeah. Dear Devolver Media, listen to this and make it happen, please.
Yes. Listen to this, make it happen.
Thank you. Anyway, so... Ollie Ollie is a 2D skateboarding game, and looking at it, it looks like a simple little skateboard game. You skate along, you do tricks, you grind, and it ends. However, where I say it's like Hotline Miami is because if you make one little tiny mistake, it ruins your entire run, but you're not punished. There's a giant reset button on the top left-hand side that says, do you want to try that again? And of course, you hit OK. I want to try that again. And you do it again, and again, and again, until you get that one perfect run, and you feel absolutely amazing, and then you're given the next map, you spend the next 2 hours trying to perfect to absolute perfection, can't do any better than this. Now,
right.
It's horribly addictive, Cameron. This will ruin your life.
Really?
It's fantastic.
Okay.
Sounds good. Like Hotline Miami, it punishes you for not doing the game well, but it doesn't punish you in a way that's unfair.
It
only punishes you if you've made a mistake.
That's okay then, that's fine.
So it's not like some games that punish you just because it's going to punish you. It punishes you only if you make a mistake. Now, the controls are going to confuse people at first. It threw me at first. Now, to push off, you hit X. So two taps of X gets you up to full speed. Everything else then is controlled with the left analog stick. So like in Skate, you kind of do a quarter circle to ollie the board. Doing half circles, quarter circles, three-quarter circles will change the type of flip or kick or grab that you do. Now, you can combine this with the shoulder buttons to add rotations in, but the important mechanic comes into play if you land on a rail. Now, you can just land on a box standard rail by pressing down just before you hit the rail, or you can hit any other direction to do an alteration on the ground.
Right.
From that rail, you can jump off the rail, onto another rail, onto another rail, onto another rail. You can then go into a manual, ollie onto another rail. So very quickly you can build a very, very high scoring combo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the aim of the game is to basically get to the end of the level without falling off.
As would be sensible, yeah.
If at any point, you fall off the board, that's your run over. Now, like Tony Hawk's 1 and 2, each map has a set of objectives. Be a high score, grind this rail, collect all these objects. So very, very similar, very familiar to people that played Tony Hawk's 1 and Tony Hawk's 2 and Tony Hawk's 3. You know, only this time it's without a time limit. It's just you've got the length of the track to do as many of these things as you can. Now, if you fall off the board at any one point, if you've completed an objective, that's still kept. You don't lose that. So, again, the game doesn't punish you for no particular reason. say you've got a high score by this point, and you almost get to the end of the map, you fall off. You still get your high score, but you won't get a completion bonus because you've not completed the level. So that incentivizes you to go back, complete the full map, and then get that incentive to carry on.
Yeah, true.
There's about 4 or 5 different worlds, and each map has got an amateur level. And if you complete the run on amateur, you unlock a pro level, which is a bit more difficult, a bit more technical, but it gives you something else to do as well. Now, the part that I think is ruining people's lives is the feature called the daily grind. Every day, for 24 hours only, one run is put online from by the creators. You get as many practice runs as you want to perfect the run, then you get one shot and one shot only to put down your best run and against the entire world.
Oh, right.
So you can practice this for 20 minutes. You go on, nail your best run. That is your one and only run. You only get one shot at this.
Right.
So,
okay.
And it changes every 24 hours. There's always a reason to flip on your PS Vita and go into Olly Olly. Even if you don't want to play the campaign, you've always got that little challenge sitting there going, go on, give it a go. Go on.
Is this like the skateboarding version of Autolog?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes, it is.
I got you.
It very much is, I believe it's inspired by Autolog, because it will give you immediate feedback going, well, here's the people that have done well so far. You might look at that score and go, oh, I can get that easy. Then you try, and then you decide, right, I'm going to give this a go. And, you know, the power's in your hands at that point.
Genius.
So for, I believe I paid £8 for the game. It is more than worth £8 on the PSN.
Grando.
It is very, very good. I have other games as well. I've also picked up Rayman Legends and Army Corps of Hell, but I've not played them enough to give an opinion of them just yet.
Okay, so they might be next month.
They could be next time.
I'd say next month, optimistically, of course.
Yes, of course.
It could be the summer by the time we record another episode.
Hopefully not, but yes, it'll be the next...
Hopefully not.
Don't say that.
Well, you know, I'm okay. We'll go on up to next month. We'll go optimistic.
Next month, you know, we'll continue my Vita Odyssey. But if you're considering buying a Vita, you know what? You already know PlayStation Plus. It applies to the Vita as well. You can get the Uncharted game for free with your PS Plus account.
Oh, nice.
That's saving you £20 out the bat.
I like how the PS Plus thing is working out a hell of a lot better for Sony than it is for the Xbox Games with Gold thing.
Because they're not giving you games from 2008, for example.
Yeah, because, like, you know, I think I'm trying to think what the best kind of deal you've had on Games with Gold is as of yet.
I wasn't aware one existed.
You had Sleeping Dogs recently, that was okay.
PlayStation Plus had that as well.
Yeah, that was the only problem.
PlayStation Plus Halo 3, is giving you Bioshock Infinite this month, a game that only came out 30 months ago.
May last year?
Yeah.
So about 9 months?
9 months old, you can get it on PlayStation Plus right now.
That is quite good. That is really good.
Yes.
That's what makes me think that I'm kind of plumping for a PS4 over an Xbox One for my next-gen choice at the moment.
You would be a wise man.
Yeah, I know. That is you done, staying on the subject of handhelds, I don't think, seeing as we've done one of these podcasts since before Christmas, I'd have been through the game I got for Christmas. Now, my son Kyle went shopping with my dad for Christmas stuff for all the family that he buys, in inverted commas, you know, my dad pays for, basically, but it's from Kyle, kind of thing.
Sure.
Presents for, like, you know, me and Claire.
Yeah.
And he was insistent, apparently, in going to a game shop to get his dad a game.
At which point your dad hung his head in his hands and went, oh, God.
Well, my dad thought as soon as I had exited my teenage years, he would never have to set foot in a game shop ever again.
Now you're grooming your son to be exactly the same as yourself.
Yes. There was a hilariously funny story when Kyle kind of knew what he was doing, but my dad was confused initially because they took the card off the shelf for Luigi's Mansion 2 to the counter.
Right.
And obviously that's a download.
Right.
So my dad paid the £40, or £35, whatever it was,
got a receipt
with a code printed on it.
Right.
And that was it. And apparently stood by the till for a good 30 seconds, waiting for a box to arrive. until someone actually asked him if he needed a hand, and they went, I've just paid for this, and you gave me a receipt and didn't give me a box. And they went, ah, that's a download code. And my dad had a little kind of moment of thinking, I can't really just hand over a receipt for Christmas. This is a bit weird. So he actually had to exchange. They exchanged him the download code for a physical copy. Which, they, to their credit, they didn't mind doing.
You know, game are quite accommodating, especially at that time of year.
Yes, so my...
When it comes to my brand,
no, oh God, not this story again. So to cut a long story short, Kyle bought me Luigi's Mansion 2 on my 3DS for my Christmas. This might be something to do with the fact that he's expressed an interest in playing himself, but we'll let that one slide. We'll let him go with that. You know, sure. It's fine. It's obviously an update on the one of the launch titles of the GameCube. Back in 2000 and
oh god, it's not that long ago. Surely. Cube?
2000. Oh, it was 2001, 2002. Because I bought one on release day with a student loan check. I paid my rent. It was all fine. So it was. It is a nice. It shows you just how well this kind of the Luigi's Mansion games were for sort of. I say it's a tech demo, but that sounds really, really passive of it and really dismissive. But it shows off the strength of the hardware that's on. In the GameCube version, it was obviously just to show you that, you know, the different graphical qualities the GameCube had at the time. But the 3D effect really comes into life with the on the 3DS for the newer one. It's a similar story. There's a jewel that controls all the ghosts in this valley, and they're all quite docile and really sort of obedient. Until someone steals this jewel and breaks up into a load of millions of bits across all these mansion houses in the valley.
Wait, this sounds familiar.
And they go, does it?
There's a princess in
taking
castle.
A gem, bashing it into pieces. It sounds like another game that Nintendo might make.
Yeah, it might be quite similar. And then it's got the... Yeah, and then so Luigi basically, rather reluctantly, has to be said, crawls through all the dark and dusty corridors of various haunted mansions trying to find, with his hoover on his back, trying to find ghosts to suck up, basically. It has the usual fantastic levels of Nintendo inventiveness to it. It's just, it's a charming wee game to play. It's got all sorts of cool little touches, like if you pass a table in one of the dining halls and you set the hoover going to suck and you catch the end of the tablecloth, you can do the trick where you pull the tablecloth from underneath all the crockery. Things like, if you do it right, and it has a little sparkly bit because it goes like, ding, like you've done it. And there's all sorts of kind of, there's all sorts of kind of Scooby-Doo-esque secret walls and doors and things like that there. And eventually the ghosts start to like play around with rooms and make sure that, you know, the doors don't lead to where they should do and all this kind of stuff. And it gradually kind of ramps up as far as that's concerned. It is a classy Wii game, and it's just it's what Nintendo do really, really well, which sadly recently people don't seem to appreciate as a mainstream kind of thing. But there you go. But that was my game I got for Christmas. The game I bought after Christmas, because once again I went into Carlisle with Kyle and we ended up in the game shop again. It's almost like we do this as a regular basis. I ended up in the game sale in the new year buying Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. Huzzah! I wasn't quite sure what to do with this because I thought if I was going to get like a PS4 and Xbox One, do I just wait and get the sort of next gen?
I did remember having this conversation.
In which case they'll look all shiny and wonderful and beautiful and new and far-reaching and glowing. But then I thought, sod it, I'll just get it for 28 quid and my sort of full next-gen game will probably be Watch Dogs. My relationship with the Assassin's Creed games is quite strained because I kind of skipped the first one and then I played the second one, but only really for about 4 or 5 hours. And I got to the stage where it was trying to introduce the fact that I could buy priceless works of art. And I'm thinking, I just want to jump around and kill people. I don't really want to be buying an art gallery, really, to be honest with you. And it seemed like there was too much in Assassin's Creed 2 that they were trying to do. It seemed like there was all these little bits, like Ezio could, you go on Assassin's missions, or he could build up his house, or he could build up his garrison, and he could do this and the next thing, and he could collect these things, and all these little feathery things.
It sounds like Animal Crossing crossed Assassin's Creed.
It was a little bit, yeah. It just felt like it felt like there was a lot going on, and it didn't all quite meld together too well in two. So I skipped on all the next ones. In the, you know how two seemed to have a never-ending kind of brotherhood and revelations and all that kind of stuff for the Ezio story. Three came out a couple of years ago, and I really wasn't that interested. And a lot of people I know who are quite are even fans of the series didn't rate three. Because they said it was basically them trying out a lot of new ideas and a lot of them didn't really quite work. But I think what sold Assassin's Creed 4 to me was the fact that Jim, ex of GameWank, now of VideoGamer.com.
Well done, Jim.
Well done, Jim. Good luck on the job, pal. He said one phrase to me. He said, "It's like Elite on the Elite. Sea." Oh, and you know how much
so
I like
much.
Elite.
I apologize, your wife.
So, yes, so I... Yeah, exactly. So I went and thought, yeah, I'm having that for 28 quid. I'm enjoying it. It's really, really good. The fact that you can go around on your boat and then just park up, you know, drop anchor.
Park up
is the right phrase.
Local co-op.
Park up, yeah. Park up. Well, basically, that's it. You can see an island and go, that looks interesting, I'll stop there. And you just dive off the end of your boat and then you swim a little bit inshore and you're on that island. And it goes suddenly from being a very naval, you know, this naval thing, you know, steering a boat around the ocean to Kenway on his own on the island and what he sees. And you can go hunting or you can have little side missions and all this kind of jazz. It's quite smooth, the transition between the two.
The problem I've had with Assassin's Creed games in the past is... I played the first one and just got frustrated beyond belief.
I think the first one was basically, going back to that tech demo thing, I think the first one was basically a lot of ideas. And I think Ubisoft kind of do this with the Assassin's Creed series now. There's like a really, really good one, and then they try a lot of new stuff,
and it doesn't work.
And then it's not really very good. But people give them feedback and say, well, this was rubbish, and this was rubbish, and this was rubbish. And they actually, to their credit, fix that for the next one. I think that's what's happened. Assassin's Creed 3 was really average and not a lot of people liked it. So they got a lot of feedback and said, well, this didn't work and this didn't work. And they fixed a lot of that.
I think people
Black Flag
said, we like the boats, we want more boats. And they went, we're onto something, lads.
Yep. And I think, although I think the whole Assassin's Creed 4 coming out a year later was probably well in development by the time Assassin's Creed 3 came out. But I think, there's a lot of emphasis on the naval side of Assassin's Creed 4. There's a lot going on, but I mean, and I played it for about 3 hours one night, and then I realised when I switched off my console, I hadn't actually done any of the story missions. I'd just been hunting alligators in a swamp for about an hour, and then doing a couple of the assassination missions, and then collecting sea shanties was the other thing I was doing. The only problem is, even now, sort of 6 or 7 hours in, it's still trying to show me new stuff.
Should have stopped that by now.
It's like it's still in kind of tutorial holding hands mode. It gives you a mission, and on that mission you get enough money, and it tells you to go to an island to an upgrade shop and buy this the boat for the ship. It's a little bit kind of, can you get the chains off now and let me just do what I want? But I'm just waiting for that to kind of like the barricades to fall and I can actually get going. And at the moment, it's showing me how to attack ships, which I can appreciate. There's a lot going on. They need to get it, you know, down. But it would be a lot better if it just introduced these tutorials as and when you wanted to do them. But as I say, 7 hours in, I'm following the story, but it's obvious that every story mission is geared towards a certain aspect of the game.
It's clearly leading towards some massive event that you're going to have to use all these skills for.
Exactly. It's building up slowly to that. But I'd appreciate, if it's going to be a tutorial, at least just show me what it is when I kind of stumble upon it. Don't make it part of this rigid story. It's a difficult balancing act, I know, and there is a lot to squeeze in. But it just feels a bit like I'm being led by the hand.
There are ways of doing it that doesn't feel that way.
But yeah, exactly. Kenway is a fantastic character, though. I don't think I've ever controlled anyone in a video game that's from Swansea. And it's great. It's great because you get on the boat and you've got all these crew members, and as I say, you get sea shanties, like songs they can all learn. And so you press, like, I think it's right on the D-pad when you get behind the wheel of the boat. And you get, it makes Kenway go, come on then, lads, let's pass a bit of time and have a song, eh? Awesome. And they all start singing. And it's great. So you're bobbing along on the sea on an ocean wave and everyone's going, hey ho, a little doy, I do
that, hey. The only way that can be greater is if you can get them to sing Daft Punk, Get Lucky, in the same awkward style the Russians did.
That would be awesome. That would be incredible. If there was some kind of mind warp of yeah. Yeah, that might work, actually. The only other thing I think I put on Twitter as well, that I wish that Ubisoft just had the balls to make a historically based game.
They seem to toy with it and go, oh, let's make it silly.
Yeah. Sometimes the sci-fi bollocks gets in the way a little bit. And it's just like, why not just, it's a good enough game and it's so well researched, why not just have it in this historical setting? Why does it have to be this DNA computer construction and make you aware that it's like just a computer construction of someone's ancestral DNA or whatever it is? Just have a game based in
it's
that
all like
time.
Going back to Jim's complaint about Far Cry 3, that the experience is kind of ruined because you've got dubstep in the background.
Yeah, I can see. I've only played minimal bit of Far Cry 3. I might, you know, I bought it, but I might get on with that in a little while. But yeah, I can see what you mean. It kind of because the actual history part and the actual main levels are so obviously made out to be a computer construction, it kind of just feels like they've just shoehorned in this sci-fi nonsense just to kind of make it sell, really. And I just wish they'd have the confidence. So, yeah, set it in the bloody Caribbean with piracy and all. Yeah, it's fine. You know, it works. Anyway, there we go. I think that's me done. And Al's kind of sat here losing the will to live. So we'll move on to him, because I think he might have actually had a lot of time to think about what he's going to say.
Apparently not.
The floor is yours.
I've thought a bit about what I've been playing and what I've been doing over the past few months since we've last done the podcast.
Yeah. Right.
Right, where do I start?
At the beginning.
Yes.
Well, who can guess what I played this Christmas?
Hide and Seek?
Is it on the Super Nintendo?
It may be on the Super Nintendo, yes.
Is it Super Hide the Sausage?
I did play that, but not on the Super Nintendo.
Is it Hide the Sausage 64?
I'm working on buying that from the internet, yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, there's nothing better than Hide the Sausage 64.
Nope. Much more rounded polygons, I found. And proper 3D analogue control with the stick. Continue.
I don't know where to go from there now.
Nor did I, really. That was the problem.
No, it was Super Mario World.
Right.
I won't mention it much, because I don't know. I don't think I mentioned it enough on this podcast, but still, that did indeed do that at Christmas. And again, that warmful glow in my heart as Mario tots off with all these little Yoshis back to his house. And
is it a warm glow in your ball sack as well?
Maybe.
Okay.
And a lovely curtain by the time I finished it. But anyway.
Yeah. Carry on.
And it will be the last Super Mario World in my beloved house.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit sad about it.
I know. For those listeners who, all listeners probably won't know, because we haven't. Al's mum and dad are moving house to somewhere else in Newcastle. So they haven't got any of the room in their now two-bedroom bungalow for any of Al's 1980s crap.
I am most concerned.
Of course you are.
They went in the attic and found all these empty boxes and asked if they could throw them out. But the answer is no, because they're all related to my Super NES video games. So I'm keeping a hold of them, I think. Even though they're just empty boxes to my parents, I feel there's a lot more than just an empty box. It'll be a full box because we've got the games still, but you know, it's some of the times these days, the boxes seem to be worth more than the games.
Indiana Jones.
Prime example.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of my house moving problems and such like.
Well, your parents' house moving problems.
Yes. Well.
Which you are causing by having all your 80s crap stored in the attic.
Oh, my 80s crap's the best. Anyway. What's this? What have you been playing?
Oh, my God.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
We've just been. I know we've had a break, like, but
Christmas Eve, I bought the original Mortal Kombat for the Super Nintendo,
otherwise known as the shite version.
Yeah, from my favourite retro games emporium.
Yep.
The gentleman was telling me how he owned a Vectrex.
Oh,
really?
Apparently so.
Is this the dude in the market in Newcastle?
Yeah. He loves his Vectrex.
Oh, cool.
So he was telling me, he's talking about that, but I didn't get to play Mortal Kombat, but I did get it. But the game, of course, I did buy before, and I said I was saving it for Christmas.
Oh,
Sunset
yes.
Riders.
Oh, yeah. I'm shameful to say we had a lot of people guessing, well, a lot of people, but for guessing
the price
that you paid for Sunset Riders. That was the big sort of cliffhanger at the end of the last episode, wasn't it?
It was just the cartridge and the booklet, but no box. Too expensive for the box, I felt.
Yeah, I think you're... Oh, I'll try to remember now what everyone... Because Kev from Sonic's Ring had a vote. And I can't remember what he said.
Right, I'm loading up Twitter right now. I'm going to see if I can find it.
It's going to take ages to find.
Have you two got any guesses?
I'm going to go with 55
quid. I'm going to say £54.99.
You kid.
£62, not a bad guess.
£62, sorry, I couldn't get... No. I wish I'd kept
if
all
we're
the...
If we were organised, we would have.
If we were organised, we would have. And it hadn't been that long ago since we did the last episode, we would have. But sadly not.
So the question is, was it worth £62?
I'm guessing no.
It, of course it was. It was an 80s, it was an 80s arcade port. Of course it was worth £62. It was a, it's fantastic. It's... I don't know about its last ability, but oh god, I loved shooting up things. It was great. Although apparently there's several different tweaks compared to the arcade version.
Right.
You can't shoot women.
That's probably a good thing.
There's women appear in the arcade which you shoot, but they're replaced by men on this version.
Isn't it terrible when women are replaced by men when you least expect it?
You can also get power-ups by drinking whiskey. That is also cut from the Super Nintendo version.
Right.
The women that you save are less scantily dressed. They've got, like, more covered up.
So isn't that always the same when women are more covered up when you save them?
And another bizarre change is a level where you go in the hills to find the big chief.
Oh, no.
But you're not allowed to shoot Indians. So there's just normal cowboys there. There's no Indians until the big boss is the only Indian in the game. So you're not allowed to shoot Indians either for some reason.
Right.
Culturally diverse.
Yeah.
Mm. That's that. But the gameplay itself, 6 levels. You get to ride a horse for a little bit and just make your way through the sort of ravines, canyons, a little town, a saloon. Saloon bar fight's quite fun. You're swimming on the chandelier and everything. And a train, back of a train, of course. There's no cowboy film complete without going on the back of a train and fighting the big sweaty Mexican at the end.
Yeah.
But I loved it. The last level differs a bit from the arcade as well, which I'm sad about. There's a big water wheel thing you've got to jump on, but that's not there. And a bit where you get to use a Gatling gun to shoot people, but that's not on the Super NES either. But, apart from that, it makes up quite well, I thought.
Cool.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. 4 players of all different names, and some have got shotguns, some have got standard pistols and the rest of it. But oh, if anyone could see it, watch the video emulated, but well, maybe not emulated. But have a look at it, because I think it's definitely, you know, it's a good few years old, but it's a pretty decent game. I enjoyed it. You remember playing it as the arcade?
I remember playing the arcade machine in a pub in Shakespeare Street in Dumfries when I probably should have been in a pub in Shakespeare Street in Dumfries.
But it's Konami who makes it.
It is.
But it's not on the box. There's another company, and if I was good, I remember it.
Oh.
Is it like PALSOFT or something like that?
I seem to remember. Did Konami not shove out their arcade conversions to some other company?
They might have done, but apparently the majority of this company made NES games, according to Wikipedia. I couldn't find many SNES titles.
Not Sunsoft, is it?
I don't think it's Sunsoft. No. I could be wrong. It's on the box, I could have a look. But yeah, I just found it a bit weird not having the. Comes up on the screen there. In the credit bit, but that's about it. Anyway, that's enough for my Sunset Riders, which game I recommend everyone plays. The rest of it, I think I'll save for my next set.
Okay.
I did briefly play the Walking Dead game that everyone's got at the moment, but I think, did we go over the criticisms of it in the last episode? I think we might have.
We spoke a bit about it, and as we've said at the top of the show, it's difficult to talk about The Walking Dead and the Wolf Among Us Telltale Games story-based stuff without giving away the story.
I think I could do it quite well.
Go on, then.
Well, not really quite well, but I just think, like you were saying, playing as the kid just doesn't seem as effective as playing...
Is this like the season 2 of The Walking Dead? It has lost a little bit of that... element of looking, because the whole thing that powered the first season was the fact that you were Lee and you had to kind of, you felt really responsible for Clementine, and the big question would be if you played as Clementine, what would be the dynamic here, in order to quote some script editor from Hollywood. I don't know, I found the first episode was quite good, actually. Maybe not hitting the heights of the first one just yet.
I want to see what the next few chapters bring.
Yeah. So you can't
really
judge
them. They're taking a sweet time on releasing them, which I don't like.
They have apologised for the delay between The Wolf Among Us episodes 1 and 2, because that was about 4 months. We'll wait until a few episodes in and see. But I quite like the fact it's a new Clementine. It's not the same Clem we left at the end of season 1.
It's a Clem that's had to kind of survive and make do with life without Lee.
Yeah.
But living through these lessons that were explained at the end of the last episode.
Yep, and considering the event of the opening of season 2, that also shapes up a fair bit. So, yeah, it's I quite enjoy it. I do look forward to each episode of The Walking Dead coming out, and Wolf Among Us, because I think it's quite cool. I thought they've nailed the episodic gaming thing, really. I'm shocked it took them this long. Is that you done enough?
Yeah, that's me done for this little section, I believe. I can't think of anything else relevant I've been playing.
Is the next section the next two things we have written down on that old notey there?
Yes, unless... Oh, no, I've got three sections. Unless anybody's got anything to interlude with.
No.
You see, I really must...
This is once again where we would put music. Yeah.
So am I going to talk like the next three sections again? Maybe I should go first on what you've been playing in future.
That was the idea in my head.
You
corpsed on me.
You can tell that story. They can tell that story. And
Al's Durham Dream.
Right, okay. Welcome to the backstage area of the Brick Frogger podcast. This is how things get done here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This is where the magic happens. Basically, Al and me were in work one day. As regular listeners will know, me and Al work in the same place. Technically, Al's my boss.
Let that sink in for a minute.
let that sink in for a little minute. Al's in charge of what I do. So, anyway. And Al tells me he's had this rather fantastic dream, wasn't it?
Was. Maybe dreams would come true.
Yeah, and apparently, was it you and me? Is that it? Mm-hmm. Me and him had got on the train. We'd gone to Durham for the day. The town in the north of England. And we...
City.
It's near more a city than Carlisle. So, we apparently went and we found... What, like this little independent game shop?
It was more of a charity shop.
And it was like it sold like the greatest range of games you'd ever seen in a charity shop.
Mega Drive games.
Mega Drive games. And we ended up buying...
I think it was about 100.
100 Mega Drive games.
Yeah.
Right. And that was basically the gist of it, wasn't it?
It was.
We had a... in a kind of Kevin Costner Field of Dreams style, me and Al are entertaining the idea of maybe going to Durham one day. I'm trying to find if there's a charity shop that sells 100 Mega Drive games. I can't promise we'll buy them.
Find them.
Because I don't own a Mega Drive.
The other bit after my dream was that we did the break for Frogger after I'd bought these 100 Mega Drive games, and it was just me going on for 4 hours describing every one of these
games. And me and you and slowly died of boredom.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I've got to tell you, 90 is not brisky. I'm ever like...
Number 92.
Number 92 is some fucking shitting lettuce.
I'll admit where I come to your room. I don't own a Mega Drive. That's what we're thinking. We're thinking one day we'd have to go across on the train to Durham and try and locate this store and see if this was not just a dream, but
of course,
prophecy.
If that fails, you could just interview the locals of Durham and put that on the air.
True. That'll be fun. Just walking around going with a microphone going, do you know there's a game shop that sells Mega Drive games? Hello? Wait, why are you running away?
I'm not looking for livestock. Please don't bring me that.
So yeah, that was one thing. That was Al's little Durham dream that he had. And I've told this story to give Al a little bit of preparation time and to give him the buffer zone he needs to go for his next section.
Well, it's not that section yet.
Is it not that section yet? Right. What is going on in your head?
It's the Game Hunter section.
Oh, sorry, your Game Hunter section. Okay,
I didn't
sorry.
Tell you about
sorry.
That.
All right,
before
okay.
the start of the podcast.
Sorry.
This
all
is
right.
awesome.
Keep going. Go on.
Well, it's YouTube coming to play here in the sense of you lured me very selfishly to HMV in Glasgow.
Oh God!
Knowing No, like,
oh, yeah.
I only have 50 pence in my pocket.
We took Al to the arcade.
For those of you who don't know, the HMV in Buchanan Street has basically Al's idea of heaven.
It was.
It is. It's a small, small corner in one of the sort of the, one of the upper floors that is dedicated to 1980s retro arcade pinball and arcade machines, really.
Yeah, and a console on there where it had about 100 games. You could select whichever one you wanted.
Yes.
And most of them were Capcoms, I think.
You were playing something and I had no idea what it was.
Well, let me take you back for a little story time.
Okay.
Did you ever had, or you might know in Glasgow or somewhere, in-shops?
Yes.
You had an in-shops, which is literally a glorified mall.
Yes.
I'm lost. Carry on.
I don't know if Carlisle had one. It's literally the... in the sort of late 80s.
Imagine an indoor market, Cameron.
All right,
that kind of idea.
Carlisle's got an indoor market.
I know, they branded them for some marketing thing. They branded indoor markets as in-shops. And there's a lot, certainly in the northeast. I don't know where else there was, but certainly a lot in the northeast.
Okay.
Anyway, in-shops down Miles End, where I used to live.
Yeah.
A video game shop opened up there.
Right.
And I remember going there and buying quite a lot of games, like all my Spectrum games and all my Nintendo games. I think it was gone by Super Nintendo. I certainly didn't have much Super Nintendo in anywhere. But there was an empty unit opposite to this Magic Game Shop, which contained a ride-on car, one of them chickens that laid plastic eggs, and one solitary arcade cabinet. This arcade cabinet contained a game that's called Captain Commando, and a lot of people out there might be thinking, what?
Yeah.
It's a Streets of Rage-style beat-em-up.
Right.
Where your four characters are Captain Commando, a guy with knives, a ninja guy, and a baby operating a giant robot.
Sounds logical.
So I remember playing that game as a kid. The bad guys smoke. They're sitting having a fag before you come along to beat them up. I remember playing that.
The sword don't get you, lung cancer will.
And it was lost in the annals of time. It was lost. In the annals of time, it was lost.
I don't think that's the correct term, but carry on.
Well, I thought it was anyway, but
is that what Jimmy Savile told you?
Until these two lads showed me that bit, and what's this on here? And I clicked on it, and I transported back all them years to the in-shops with the computer game shop and the man that used to sell plastic machine guns. And a nice video shop that I bought some second-hand wrestling games from.
Right.
I remember the man selling plastic machine guns giving me some money off once because I went and took his empty cup back to the cafe. Isn't that a good story?
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Sadly, the man with the plastic machine guns ended up going a bit mental. I remember seeing him losing his, singing down the road and stuff. It was a very sad end to one of my early heroes.
Right.
I don't remember his name. Anyway, back to in-shops. No, Captain Commandos, it's a Streets of Rage style, and it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it looked cool.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was really good. It was, you got these giant robot things you can get on, and there's like a bank robbery you got to stop at the start, and it's pretty cool, to be fair. It's standard stuff, Streets of Rage style, but I do enjoy it. So, sadly, with only 50 pence in my hand, that was my game over.
The fact that you were almost late for your train.
I could have sat there all day. There's no doubt about it.
We caught that train by about a minute.
I could have sat and played that.
Yes, Al has vowed next time he's up there to bring just a bag full of pound coins and just live there.
And come like clanking in up that escalator.
To be fair though, you'll blend in with the people that live in the game bit upstairs as well.
Right then. Good stuff. You've whet my appetite for Captain Commando.
Yep.
I'm going to go search for it, I decided.
Alright, okay.
Captain Classics 2 for the PS2.
Yeah.
Captain Commando.
Contains this game.
It does indeed.
That's right, okay.
On eBay, order, through post, Captain Commando. But the only appalling thing is, seems to be, you won't let you select your player. So because I'm in port 1, I've got to be the first guy on the menu. And if I plug me controller 2, I can be the other guy. But there's still two people I can't play as, unless I'm going to go get a multi-tap. But I don't think
so. You have to plug your controller into port 2 to actually get more control over
to get the next character.
The guy.
and I don't like that.
It's like Psycho Mantis 20 years early.
Really?
Aye.
So that was, I was a bit disappointed with that, but there's other games on it. There's one called Knight of the Round Table or something.
Yes.
It's like Streets of Rage with knights.
Yeah, it's like Streets of Rage and Arthurian Legend. Yes, I remember this.
So I think I might have some more play. I've tried to play Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. I found it ridiculously difficult for some reason. I've never been poor at Street Fighter games, but
you're bloody poor at poor.
Oh, am I now?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because you're there going, oh, really? I can't get any of these ultra combos shit, like, I don't want to do any of these ultra combos. I just like punching fork and fireball on their faces.
And did I do all right at the what's it called? The Kong Kong thing?
I nearly eliminated Twan.
There you go, you see.
You wanted the greatest moments ever at Kong Kong.
Yeah, you got down the last punch against Twan.
It was see.
Yeah.
So I'm a terrible Street Fighter game, but for some reason I'm.
I just spend my Concons getting plastered about on Street Fighter with Dave these days.
The football, I like doing it.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, but yeah, I find it incredibly hard. I don't know why. I might go back and give it another go, but there are quite a few games on this Capcom Classics, so I think they'll be upcoming in the next few. Few weeks. So, but yeah, Capcom.
Let's face it, Capcom are fucking brilliant anyway. So.
Yeah. That was my Captain Commando.
Yeah, that was cool.
I didn't even know his title.
Was it necessary to dry hump the cabinet? That's all I'm asking.
Yes, but it wasn't dry for long.
No, it wasn't dry for long. No. That joystick will be well lubricated. That's all I'm saying.
So anyway, that's my little game. I see Game Hunters. That's my another one to add to my collection.
That was brilliant.
That I've got nowhere to keep.
That was amazing. Talking of arcades, Al.
Yes.
And this is the bit where I really wish we could have put a microphone in front of your mum to tell this story.
She was just reminded, I don't know why, I don't even know how it came up when I saw her on Monday. She just reminded me of this story.
Go on.
Yeah, it was a cold winter's day. In fact, no, I don't think it was. It was in the summer, I believe. We were going to caravan holidays, as you do.
Right.
My parents did it, mum, very. And I didn't really enjoy them that much, but one of my highlights was to go to the on-site arcade for the caravan park.
This doesn't shock me, but carry on.
See what games I can peruse and play. Right. And this one happened to have Robocop 2.
Ooh.
Which was good. A game I have obtained in the PC format since, but that was really good. And also, Tales of the Arcade.
Yay.
Which, of course, Xbox, brilliant.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went to the arcade with my mother one day.
Uh-huh.
And she used to play bingo when I would go up and do this.
Okay, yeah.
And a small child was in my way. I must have been about 12. Small
right.
child, might have been about 3 or 4.
Uh-oh.
And for some reason, he stood in the doorway
mm-hmm.
and punched me in the leg because he couldn't reach that high. And he just repeatedly punched me in the leg.
Right.
And I was a bit...
Is this how you got your criminal record?
I was a bit like, that's a happy boy, what's going on? Yeah. And... his mum, my mum was there, she was banging, and his mum was there, and she said, oh, stop with Vinny, or whatever his name was, you know. Found that bit obscure, so fine. So anyway, I went down the arcade, done me bits, and there we are, playing Turtles Arcade, enjoying myself. Well, this small child decides to come up to me again.
Right.
Why should I'm playing the arcade?
What a little shite.
Exactly. I thought, well, you know, I just sort of swatted them away a little bit, just sort of pushed them back just a couple of metres, you know, because I'm that sort of nice guy.
Yeah.
Just so I could roundhouse kick him in the chest. Now, as I went for this, the kid walked forward a bit, and I'm telling you, I got some distance on it when it connected.
Oh my god.
Oh, he went straight on his arse, he did, I'll tell you that. At which point his mother came over.
Oh no!
And started saying, yeah. But luckily my mother was on hand to come and defend me.
Tell me that your mum roundhouse kicked this other mum, please.
No. My mum made a valid point. Well, he shouldn't be hitting him in the first place, should he?
Yeah. Mrs. M has a good point there. Yeah.
So the two of them went off scalded and. The kid's probably got a claps lock. But anyway. So yeah, that was my arcade story there.
You roundhouse.
So really it was just not so much an arcade story, more of a why you're the giant bully.
Hey, I'm not a bully. He started
the child.
He started and I finished it.
Could you not have just turned around, Alan, and resolved this in an amicable fashion by saying, excuse me, youth.
It wasn't like last week.
It wasn't last week.
If someone had started leaning into me on that arcade, it might happen again. I'm just saying that, you know, I don't know why the kid decided.
See, if we do end up back in that arcade at HMV, I'm just going to punch you.
I'll be for see what you do.
It must be the way he like walked into it just made it connect so perfectly as well.
Oh man, he's this poor. Although I say this poor kid, he sounds like a shite. But
I don't know. He's probably in jail now. Who knows?
So you basically Eric Cantona kung fu kick this kid.
Yes, but I mean I was a child at the time.
I understand.
But at the same time, why is he? I was just thinking, why is he doing it? I'm enjoying my game. I'm playing Turtles. I'm on the way all the time. Why is he trying to spoil it for us?
True.
No.
Just spoiling it no more.
No, not anymore. Fantastic. Fantastic. Anyway, I think that just about closes the business for the night.
It doesn't, eh?
I would say so. And it's all good. It's all grand and good. Once again, I can be found on Twitter at CrippleH with one P, otherwise it doesn't work like a wrestling joke. And I know there was someone on Twitter the other day months ago, who was saying that because I was on Sonic's Ring, he now knows that my Twitter handle is pronounced Cripple H and not Cripple.
Jesus. that's the caliber of people listening to Sonic's Ring, I suppose. Anyway.
Your words are not mine. Anyway, Alan can be found on Twitter.
George Alan?
At Geordie Allen, which you use from time to time.
I use it to observe. I believe somebody was looking for a picture of Donatello.
Oh, yes. The infamous Donatello raping a hippo picture.
I think it was Phil's mate Ryan wanted to look at the Donatello, and then I think Mentasm got in touch with him, because I think the original request was, where's the picture of an elephant raping Donatello? And Mentasm went, no. It is Donatello raping the elephant. And I was like, and they were all like, oh, I don't know who's got one. I was like, Jordy Hall's user pick. And then this Ryan fella just went, class. Which I thought was quite cool.
I did enjoy that when we went through first time at ConCon. I didn't enjoy
it. Yeah, that was quite awesome. It's one of the highlights of ConCon. It's one of the reasons why that sports centre will be, community centre is amazing.
It is.
For that reason.
Ewan, you're on Twitter at the Wandering Ewan,
and we can contact us with any kind of questions and comments about the show in general. Probably how it's gone a little bit downhill since we've got no music.
If you want to write your own music and send it in, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, write your own music and send it in. That'd be good.
It'd be nice if somebody sent something in now and again.
Did Phil not give us like an 8-bit version of the Open All Hours theme song?
We do have that somewhere.
We could do that.
If Phil can make something else, that'd be fantastic as well.
Yeah, talking about Phil making something else.
You'll find out soon, people.
Rumbles from over the hillside.
What could they be? Oh. You'll find out soon.
You might be hearing from us sooner than you may think.
Sorry.
I bet that pleases you all. You've got a weird laugh. Right, so that's pretty much it for this month. -3 in the bag. We shall see ye whenever we next see ye. Goodbye for now.
And it's good night from him. God damn
it. Let's not start the two Donnies again. It just went so wrong last time.
It just interrupted it.
Good night from everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.